All right.
Open your Bibles up to Matthew 11. Matthew 11. Thanks, Wayne, guys. Thank you all so much. We've been doing a series called Busting Stress. And tonight we're going to continue busting stress. Amen. Busting stress. Father, we do thank you for your word tonight. We ask, Lord, that you just give us understanding and revelation and wisdom. We pray that you would open the eyes of our heart, Lord, and let us see. Let us understand things about your word, your kingdom, maybe that we haven't seen before. Father, I thank you that the Holy Spirit is here, our great helper, our great teacher. Lord, I thank you that he is the teacher of the church. And we trust him to teach us tonight. We trust him to reveal purpose and destiny, that we would be able to walk free from stress, walk in your plan for our lives. Father, we thank you for all you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Look here what Jesus said in Matthew 11, 28. He said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Everybody say rest.
Rest.
"Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Does anybody have that? Pete, do you have that Message translation? You don't have the. Does anybody have the Message translation in that? Do you, honey? Well, bless your heart. Yeah, read that Matthew 11, 28 there through 30. That is such so good in the Message. I meant to bring mine out here and I just slipped my mind. You know,
up here at the top. I don't know where exactly to start.
All right. It says, "Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." Isn't that good? Let me read it to you again. It says, "Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." Jesus, I think, is really trying to get a point across here to us about our relationship with him will bring a rest to us. It will bring a peace to us that we're not always stressed out in performance. We're not always trying to prove to God how right we are. We can rest. We can take his yoke. And that word yoke there in the Greek is the word lugos or L-U-G-O-S. And it means his coupling of balance, the way he balances out. And a couple of weeks ago, if you remember, we talked about reality and expectation. We talked about positional truth. You remember we talked about how we know that we're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's what the word says in Ephesians, but we know we're living here on this earth. And if you don't balance out positional truth with reality, your expectation, in other words, you could look at this, make this imaginary line between expectation and reality, or you could say positional truth and conditional truth, and however far apart that line is, that's how high your stress level is going to be. And I talked about, if you'll remember back in the 80s, people were learning about, "By his stripes I am healed." They were learning about the healing message. They were learning about how to make confession in the healing message. They were learning about having hands laid upon them. They were learning about the healing anointing. And a lot of people foolishly would let their children die because of positional truth and expectation, because of reality and expectation, or reality, conditional truth versus positional truth. Now, we think that's quite bizarre, don't we? I mean, I think that's quite bizarre. If you believe in healing, it doesn't mean you can't go to the doctor. Well, why do we bring that over into the realm of righteousness and say, "I'm the righteousness of God," but sin just doesn't matter? Yeah. The same principle.
Yeah. Right.
Well, you know, grace is so great that sin... No. It's the same principle. He bore our sicknesses and carried our diseases, and with his stripes we were healed. But, you know, you might have to deal with sickness. Amen. Do you see what I'm saying? We know that positionally in Him, we have received all things. It is ours in Him. But, you know, where expectation meets reality is where we have to walk that out on a day-to-day basis. We have to walk that out with God. We have to walk that out in reality. And one of the things that I think God really wants us to guard our hearts against is some spooky religion. You know, if it's so spooky, you can't deal with it practically, it's too spooky for me. Yeah. I mean, if it's so complicated, you can't understand it, it's way too complicated. This is so simple, you had to have help to misunderstand it. Jesus' yoke of coupling is balanced. It's light. It's easy. It's not hard. And while I'm talking, turn over to Genesis just a minute, because I want to show you something. Genesis 6. And feel free now, if you got a comment, to jump in. I don't know that I can answer all the questions, but maybe some of us here can help you if you have a question or comment. But see, I have a hard time with people that live their lives in positional truth, but they don't deal with reality. I just have a hard time with that. I have a hard time. If you're dealing with positional truth that says, by His stripes you are healed, that is a positional truth. That is a truth that will never change. But that does not mean you don't have faith in that positional truth if you go to the doctor. It doesn't mean that you don't have faith in that positional truth if you take a Tylenol. It doesn't. You see what I'm saying? And we have to realize that reality and positional truth can work right in hand together. Yeah, Pete. Yeah.
Along that line, I didn't interrupt
yeah.
you. Long
no, that's all right. No.
86, I was working flowers and I had a hernia. Mm-hmm. I believe in God for healing.
Yeah.
And I said, Lord, can you go the healing route? He said, yes. He said, but your faith is not high enough.
Okay. That's.
He said, but you go where I tell you to the surgeon,
mm-hmm.
and I will speed the healing up.
Mm. Amen. God. In other words.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
And he did. The doctor made. I was healed about half the time.
Mm-hmm.
The surgery.
And see, we have to realize that it doesn't matter where that point meets. God will meet us there.
Amen.
See, but to ignore sickness and disease, or to listen, same principle with sin. Now I'm trying to make an attachment here. It's the same principle with someone that is the righteousness of God that would want to live in sin for their life. Same principle. And if we are so lofty minded in positional truth that we can't deal with reality, we can't deal with the condition of a person's heart in life. Listen, we'll never be able to help anybody. You can't help anybody. You know, if you can look at sin and say, well, if a person's in sin and they're a Christian, they're still the righteousness of God. Well, that's true. But if all you look at is the fact that they're the righteousness of God, and you think, well, if I say someone that is in sin, if I say something about that sin, I'm judging them. No, there's a difference between, you know, Paul wrote to the church at Corinth. And he said, you guys, you need to learn something here. In the end of time, you're going to be judging the angels. You need to be able to discern right now. You need to be able to discern between right and wrong right now. You know, yes, Allie.
I think one of the things that helped me was to understand the difference between judging, saying the same thing about a sin that God says and condemning.
That's a good point. Well, none of us have the right to condemn anybody, but you can't lie about sin by trying to justify some spooky doctrine of righteousness. You can be the righteousness of God, but still live in an issue of sin, and have God to deal with you about that, and have God to correct you about that. You know, Hebrews 12, I believe it is, says, if we're not corrected, we're illegitimate children. I don't want to be an illegitimate child. And Paul wrote to Timothy and said, the word of God is profitable for correction, reproof, instruction and doctrine, so that the man of God, the person of God, may be perfectly, thoroughly furnished unto all good works.
Amen.
And see, when we recognize the, and what I'm trying to get to here is, I think we're all going to be living a very stressful life if we live positional truth of who we are in Jesus, But we cannot deal with reality of where what life really is. I think we're all going to be, I think it's going to produce so much stress. And what happens is it produces all of that stress. And then folks begin to come up with spooky doctrines. They begin to come up with strange and diverse doctrines or belief systems to cover up a sinful lifestyle.
Yeah, really.
Amen. Yeah. Been doing this a long time. I've seen that. You know, you see these cycles of that coming through where people do that. And folks, we don't want to take the righteousness of God that we are, the acceptance that we have, the love of God. And the writer Jude there said, you know, don't take this grace unto lasciviousness, where it's like an excuse to say, well, you know, I'm the righteousness of God, so I just, you know, sin's not an issue. Well, sin will kill you. Amen. Look here. Now that's kind of a preview. I didn't mean to say all that, really. I've got a whole bunch more stuff I want to talk about. But let me say this. If we're not grounded in positional truth, you have to be grounded in positional truth to know who you are in Jesus. You have to be. You have to be taught that. You need to understand that. You need to understand that you're the righteousness of God. You're accepted. You need to understand that you are loved of God, that you're valuable, that He's not mad at you. He's not condemning you. He's not trying to catch you in something. He's not trying to embarrass you. He's not trying to hurt you. He's not trying to, you know, I mean, just look at the biblical places where people were struggling with problems. But He's always trying to reveal who we are to us so that we'll walk that out. Now, when we understand who we are, we begin to get a grasp on our purpose. Everybody say purpose. Now, the word purpose, just for simple definition, is the reason something exists. Do you understand? We exist more than for just getting up, going to work, eating, going to bed, getting up, going to work. Let me give you this. This is on the movie Facing the Giants. This is a quote that was off that movie. It says, whatever we do is too small to live for. We don't live for what we do. We live for God. Amen. Even if it's ministry. See, we can't live our lives for ministry. We can't live our lives for what we do for God. We're not earning anything from God by what we do for Him. We're not living our lives. Whatever we do is too small to live for. We don't live for what we do. We live for God. And see, when we begin to identify the purpose, when we begin to identify our purpose for existence, I'm convinced that we really begin to bust the stress. The stress begins to be removed from our lives because we know, you know, let me give you an example of this. How many of y'all have ever tried to use a shovel for a pry bar? Have you? Some of you guys know what I'm talking about. It's like you get a shovel in the ground and you think, I'm really going to pop this up, whatever it is. It's a rock. I'm really going to do that. And bang, you pop the handle in it. Have you ever used a hammer as a crowbar? You know, have you ever done that? I mean, I've done that. Use a hammer instead of a crowbar. You know, try to use a hammer to pop something off when you really needed a flat bar or a crowbar. Well, you know, anytime you use something for what it's not designed for, you're abusing that. And you're stressing it. Amen. You know, we are designed and created for the purposes of God. All of us are.
Amen.
And if we can recognize that our purpose is to live life for God and really look at any point in our life where there's duality, you know, any point in our life where we're contradicting that, where we're contradicting who we are in God. You're talking about stress leaving us. You're talking about walking in the peace of God. You're talking about being able to rest, have that rest in our hearts. But I want to ask y'all a question. Why do y'all think we are maybe like the tool that's used in the wrong way? You know, Ronnie's here. Ronnie, have you ever tried to use the wrong size wrench on something and it slip off and pop your knuckles? I've done that. You know, I've done that probably a whole lot more than you have, but I mean, it's like, you know, or I can remember growing up, you know, these shade tree mechanics. Anybody ever been around a shade tree mechanic? And they'd use a different kind of a wrong jack to have a car jacked up and be under it trying to do something, rather than have like a, you know, one of those jacks. I don't know what kind is, Ronnie, they roll under there. What is that kind? A floor jack. Rather than have a floor jack, they might use a tire jack. And man, that's dangerous. But see, anytime we're using something that it was not designed for, it stresses that. And it makes it dangerous. So let me ask you a question. When you think about use, what we are designed for in our lives, I want to ask you a question now. Why do you think there's a contradiction in what God has designed us for and what we do? What we live for, what would cause us to use a shovel and break the handle out of it? Because, you know, when you think about your life that way, what is it that's pressuring us to be used for not what we were designed for? That's the question I'm trying to ask. Yeah, Pete. Okay, circumstances, that's right. That's good. Yes, Marlene.
But we forget that what we're doing is not safe. We're trying to save time.
Okay, that's a good point. We get in a hurry. We're not patient enough to let God do what he wants to. That's good. That's good. Not resting. Everybody say resting.
Resting.
Do you know that the name Noah in the Hebrew means rest? Look here with me in Genesis 6. So somebody else, why do you think, before we do that, why do you think that? Yeah, Betsy.
I think our pride and our flesh sometimes gets in the way of that, our own perception of what we think.
Yeah, boy, that's good.
Other people think we're supposed to do.
Yeah. I tell you that, you know, the last couple of days the Lord's really been dealing with me about that. It's like, I have so many things I want to do for the kingdom of God. You know, I want to have, like, lots of people working here, and I just want things to go and things to happen a lot quicker sometimes than to do. And, you know, I was asking him, I said, Lord, you know, you want to have all that too. And he said, and the Lord just impressed on my heart, you know, surrender your will. Mm-hmm. Even in a good thing, surrender your will. Just surrender. Mm-hmm. Surrender that to me. Let me have that. You know, we sing the song, I Surrender All, but it's just we surrender until we can reason, until it's something we want to reason about. Isn't that the way it is? I was listening to a minister the other day on the tape, and our CD, it was so interesting. And he made this, he didn't even know this statement that he made, but it just amazed me. He said, yielding is growth. Yielding to God is growth. Where we're surrendering, we're yielding to him. We're yielding to what? The design that we were created for him. Jesus said, my yoke is easy. My coupling of balance, the way I think, the way I do things, is not going to put you under some heavy burden of stress. Your whole life, it's not going to do that. He said, come and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. And anywhere we find in our lives, there is a stressor that is created. You know, my dad was in the Korean War, and he was blasted out of a foxhole. He was actually making a foxhole. They were using blasting caps to blast out a ditch, you know, where they could have a place to get in when the shelling started. Well, what happened was, while they were blasting him out, he said they were in this place called Heartbreak Ridge, and evidently it must have been a really tough, tough place, you know, because we were at Walmart one day, and he had his Korean War hat on, and there was another veteran that walked by, and he said, you were in Korea? And he said, where were you? And my dad said, Heartbreak Ridge. And that guy just started shaking his head. He said, I was there. And he said, it was so cold that the axles on the trucks froze. Now, that's cold. But my dad was there, and he said when they were blasting these they were using these dynamite caps to blast out. He said evidently on the other ridge they saw them doing that. And so they started firing mortar rounds into their location and blowed him out of the foxhole, you know, blowed him completely out of the foxhole. But in in reading, I just went back and looked at a lot of his old stuff and his old military files and stuff. I was reading that. There has, in order for like any attendance or veterans benefits to be approved for him, there has to be what's called a combat stressor. There has to be proof like of a combat stressor. Well, of course, that military record of him being in that battle, being wounded and being going to the military hospital was, you know, the sign or the proof that there was a combat stressor there. Well, you know, if we find in our life there are stressors, those stressors that are moving us out of that coupling of balance of rest, that's moving us out of that place of peace, that's moving us out of that, we need to check up. Are we fulfilling what our purpose is? Are we where our purpose is? Before we read that Genesis passage, let me read this to you out of the Message Bible. It says in 1 Corinthians 12:4, it says, God's various gifts are handed out to everywhere, but they all originate in God's Spirit. God's various ministries are carried out everywhere, but they all originate in God's Spirit. God's various expressions of power are in action everywhere, but God Himself is behind it all. Each person is given something to do that shows who God is. Everyone gets in on it. Everyone benefits. All kinds of things are handed out by the Spirit and to all kinds of people. The variety is wonderful. Everybody say wonderful. One of the things that causes us to have a stressor is where we're trying to compare ourselves to someone else. We're comparing our ministry to someone else's ministry. We're comparing our lives. We're comparing the way we raise our children. We're comparing ourselves. And Paul wrote to the church there at Corinth, he said, comparing yourselves among yourselves is not wise. That is a bending the shovel handle when we compare ourselves. Like Betsy said, when we are not yielding to God, we're not yielding to Him, we're not submissive or rendering ourselves surrendered to God. Like Marlena there said, it's when we're not patient enough, we're not letting patience have her perfect work in our lives, we are saying, I'm going to pry this stump up with this shovel. And God may be wanting to use a blasting cap. He may be wanting to use dynamite to get that stump out of the ground, but we're trying to pry it with a shovel and ultimately break the shovel handle because we're putting it under stress. We are using it for something it wasn't designed for. We were not designed to carry some of the loads of stress that we put ourselves under. Amen. Not designed for it. Right. Amen? Now turn up, look at what he said in Genesis. I love this. Genesis 6:8. Are you there? Genesis 6:8. All right. Speaking of verse, remember your Bible reading this week. Amen. Did you remember your Bible reading? You need to make sure you do that. Those first chapters there in Matthew. Genesis 6:8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. And Noah was a just man and a perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God. Now, the word, I just looked the name Noah up. It means quiet rest. That's what Noah means, just rest. Think about this. Look at this now. I'm going to read it that way. But rest, quiet rest, found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Quiet rest found the grace in the eyes of the Lord. And I think that, you know, when you think about Noah, you think about Moses, there's two things that we want, when you think about those two men in particular, they chose their purpose over the present. Over the present generation that they were in, they chose their purpose. They chose to do what God called them to do. Can you imagine? Think about this. A lot of people don't understand this. But when Noah built the ark, it had never rained. It had never rained from the sky. The earth was watered through a mist that came up out of the earth. Out of the earth. Think about it just a minute. Think about him building an ark and what contradiction he was to the time that he was building an ark that large when it had never rained. Yeah. Think about what I'm saying here is think about how he decided to fulfill his purpose no matter what anybody thought, said, did. He was going to follow and keep his focus on that coupling of balance with God. Moses is the same way. Moses had to go into Pharaoh's court where he had been raised, where his livelihood was, where all of those riches and all of that pleasure awaited him, and he had to choose to follow his destiny in spite of that lure. Turn over to Hebrews just a minute. Hebrews 11. I want to show you this. Hebrews 11. See, I think what stresses us out a lot of times is not surrendering or yielding to what our purpose is. And you know, like that doesn't mean, you know, like that doesn't mean that if you surrender your will to the purpose of God that it's going to happen tomorrow. It just means that in your heart, you are saying, God, whatever your plan and your will is for my life, I'm going to surrender that plan and that will to you. And I found that from a time that I did that, it was several years before I began doing some things, you know, in a bigger way. But you know, you're faithful as you go along. You're faithful. And you just keep walking in faithfulness. You just keep being faithful to God. You just keep. But listen, there is a day when you have to say, Lord, I surrender my heart to you. I'm surrendering my will to you. I'm not going to be under this type of stress, this stress that is breaking the coupling of balance where I'm not balanced out in my life. Now, you know, I don't feel like, you know, I think our church is great about surrendering their hearts to the will of God. I mean, I don't think that we have that real big issue, and I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but the point I have to preach on this because no matter where we are or who's here, there's probably always somebody that's dealing with something in their heart that they have to, you know, give it to the Lord and lay it at His feet, no matter what it is. But you know, one of the things that concerns me about Living Hope Church, about our church, is learning the proper balance of coupling when it comes to positional truth versus conditional truth or reality. I think people can get so squirrely about grace. I think they can get so out of balance about faith righteousness. I think they can get so caught up in this. And I'm going to be posting it for those of you that follow on Facebook. I'm going to be posting a blog by Jackie Dawson that I mean, it was just phenomenal about this, that he wrote about a doctrine. You know, is this just a doctrine or a new message to us, or is it something that we really are living in our lives? And the way he put this was so awesome. That grace, the message of grace, is not just some new doctrine that we all can revel in a positional truth. You know, if it's really grace working in our hearts, it's going to affect our lives. You see what I'm saying? It's going to make a change. Really, grace, folks, if you want to know the truth about it, God desires us to live a holy life. Grace will manifest and produce that holiness in our life. So when we think about this, you know, I want you to think about this. Look what he's saying here in Hebrews 11, let's start in verse 24. Well, 23. Yeah, I'm sure. We could read the whole thing, it's good, but by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Notice verse 26. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Now the thing I want you to see is this word here, reproach. You know, you think about this word reproach in verse 26, and it kind of, in just your thinking, maybe it might have a negative connotation to it. But when I look this word reproach up, This word reproach means this: esteeming, listen to this, the notoriety of Christ. And you have to understand, the Lord hadn't even been crucified at this point. Jesus Christ was not even born at this point, but he saw something in regard to his call that he he desired the notoriety of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus more than he desired to be a king of Egypt. In other words, he decided his purpose, what he was created for, was more important than any earthly treasure, more than anything that the world had to offer. He decided that what his divine purpose was, his divine destiny was more important. He looked at that and recognized that, and Noah looked at that and recognized this call that God was calling them out to, this purpose that God was purposing for their lives. They recognized that purpose. And folks, I want to tell you something. There was a liberty in their lives to do the will of God apart from any stress that the king, that the people in Noah's day could put on them. There was a stress-free life to do what God wanted them to do. Man, doesn't it? I mean, to me, that sounds good. I want to do what God wants me to do. I want to get to the place to where the influence of the world, the influence of all the pressures of life are not just pulling at me and clawing at me and worrying me and dealing with me all the time. That I can just say, you know what, God? Just like Noah found grace, I'm finding that grace. Rest, everybody say rest, is going to find grace. See, that's where the grace is found, in that rest. Here's some questions I want to ask you about your life. Now, one great author made this statement. He said, you were born an original, don't die a copy. Amen. Amen. See, I think we're so busy trying to be something that someone else is expecting us to be that we're never finding out the original purpose we were created for. Now, I've got some questions I want to pose to you. I want to ask you some questions. Think about this. Can you do what you are doing for the rest of your life and be happy? See, these are questions that you want to ask yourself. Am I living my life under stress, or am I living my life according to the design purpose of God for my life? You know, there was one point in my life I had to answer that question. I said, I cannot do what I am doing anymore and be happy. I can do it, but I can't do it and be happy. Y'all been there. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I can do it, but the question is, can you do it and be happy? Can you do it and be content? Can you do it and be fulfilled? Now, you know, sometimes when you ask yourself that question, it doesn't mean that what you're dealing with is going to change just like that. Y'all are aware of that, right? Where a lot of people get in trouble is they want that to change just like that. They get in trouble because they want that. I've made this decision now. I cannot do what I'm doing for the rest of my life and be happy, so tomorrow I'm changing what I'm doing. Not. No. You don't want to go there, right? Why? Because the Word says through faith and what? Patience, we inherit the promises. The Bible says in James, let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Are you with me now? Did you ever understand why he referred to patience in the feminine gender? In that passage there, faith, let patience have her perfect work. He said to let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing, so that faith in the masculine gender and patience in the feminine gender can come together and birth what it is you are believing for, what it is you're waiting for, what it is you want to come happen, what it is you want to happen.
That's good.
Yeah. That's worth coming tonight for, wasn't it?
Amen.
Amen. Through faith and patience, we inherit the promises. You know, and it's like, okay, well, we can believe that we are the righteousness of God, but we can't do anything. You know, we're not going to act or live righteously. No, through faith, we believe we're the righteousness of God, and patience, where we're walking out righteousness.
Yeah.
Amen. And I'm convinced that once we can grasp our designed purpose, I'm convinced once we can grasp what our purpose is. You know, I don't know. I really don't know sometimes how I pastor. I know I'm called. I love pastoring. But, you know, I wonder sometimes how I do it. But it has to be grace. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it has to be grace. It has to be what I was purposed to do, because I don't think I could do it if I wasn't purposed to do it. You see what I'm saying? And that's where you need to find for your life. You need to get a hold of that and recognize. And listen, you were born an original. Don't die a copy. It doesn't mean you're going to do and be just like everybody else. Be what God called you to be. Amen. And you know, listen, I can't stress this enough. I use this example, but now you got to understand, there's children's ministry going on upstairs right now. You know, usually in a Sunday morning service, there's ushers, there's praise and worship team. During the week, there's office staff here. There's people that are serving in the food ministry. There's people that are doing all sorts of things in regard to the works of the ministry in this ministry. And sometimes we get the idea, if I'm not just standing in front of a pulpit teaching a class, or if I'm not preaching or whatever, I'm not doing the will of God. No, 1,000 times no. You were born an original, don't die a copy. You know, there's some people that can do good, a lot of things, a bunch of things that I think about Walter and Caleb with the youth ministry sometime. I think they just come in here on Wednesday afternoons and I want to go home. You know what I'm saying? The youth, all these kids screaming and just having a hoot down and hollering and a good time, you know. It's like, I could do that, but it sure wouldn't be something I'm doing happy. You know what I'm saying? Take them on a trip. I would be thinking, you little rascals, you're going to sit where I can see you every minute. You know, and like youth, you can't do that. It's like, you know, I don't have that. You see what I'm saying? Find out where your grace is and realize where your grace is functioning. That is your proper design, where you can be restful, happy, fulfilled. Go with that flow. But don't think that it has to be what somebody else is doing. See, the question is, how do you know if you are the shovel, the hammer, the flat bar? How do you know which jack you are? How do you know which part you fit in? Well, here's just a real simple thought. It's not whatever part you fit in is not going to make you miserable your whole life.
Yeah. That's right.
It's not going to make you miserable. I'm not saying there won't be struggles, but I'm just saying you will be content to do that. Another question. Here's a real simple thought about how do you know if you're purposed or stressed? Are you walking in your purpose with God, or are you just stressed out? Do you enjoy what you do? Do you enjoy your life? Are you enjoying what you're doing? You know, it's like that should be real simple. I think we get, you know, what was that? Find that for me there in the Message Bible again, honey. That Matthew 11:28. It says, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? He said, come and find the unforced rhythms of grace. The unforced rhythms of grace. That's where the fruit will be born. That's where your life will find meaning. That's where purpose will happen. That's okay. And that's where stress is going to go out the door.
That's right.
Yeah, Matt, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's something that maybe we're scared of also. You know,
right.
But the suffering is always quicker than the pain of not.
Right, right.
It always gets you to the goal.
You know, 1 Peter 4:1 says, arm yourselves with this thought. He that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Now, why would Peter write that if we were all the righteousness of God and sin wasn't an issue? Because there's a lot of people that will not suffer for the kingdom of God for nothing. They won't suffer anything. Jesus said in the Beatitudes, he said, blessed are you when you're persecuted for the kingdom's sake. Blessed are you. Y'all see what I'm saying? And I mean, Joyce Meyer said this one time, and I loved what she said. She said she was going to do a series on the suffering of the Lord, you know. But she said she had changed the title of it. She said she preached the same thing, but she changed the title of it because nobody would buy the CD set. And that's the truth. But you have to understand, when God is calling you and you are giving up your life, you're doing what Moses did, there is a grace that will come alive in you that will enable you to do that. Mm-hmm. Amen. And you'll recognize it's God's power flowing through you. It's not your strength, not your ability, because you wouldn't be able to do it without him. Yeah, Pete, yeah.
Four about patience.
Yeah,
I've got the, steadfastness, constancy, endurance. In the New Testament, the characteristic of a man who has not swerved from his deliberate purpose.
Wow, that's good.
And loyalty to faith and piety by even the greatest of trials and suffering.
Boy, read that again, Pete. Read that again. That's good. That's good.
In the New Testament, the characteristic of a man who has not swerved mm-hmm. from his deliberate purpose to his deliberate purpose and his loyalty to faith and piety by even the greatest of trials and sufferings.
Wow.
In other words, perseverance.
Right. Now, see, Sunday I'm going to talk about the family of God, our Father in heaven. I'm going to talk about the local church being a family and the Father of God. But you know, a lot of people want to equate the local church to an army. I mean, there are biblical references to an army, but we're not in the army of God. We're in the family of God.
Yeah.
Are you with me? It doesn't mean that we're not disciplined but you know, if we were an army, I'm telling you, there'd be a lot of people in court-martial because they AWOL.
Oh, that's a good one.
They abandon their post. They abandon, and they, when the going gets tough, they don't suffer. They don't. Right. Read that one more time, Pete. That's so good.
Okay. It's from, well, first of all, it's from, of course, James 1:4. Patience in James 1:4 said steadfastness.
That is so good.
Constancy, endurance. In the New Testament, the characteristic of a man who is not swerved from his deliberate purpose and his loyalty to faith and piety by even the greatest trials and suffering.
Yeah.
That's Jesus.
Yeah, and you know, that's where the rubber meets the road, really, when you talk about. See, and I sometimes, you know, Pete and somebody else said that, Matt, I hate to talk about suffering, you know, I hate to talk about it because it's like, people get this mentality sometimes that when you're following God, that it's like, you know, just a heavy burden. And I don't want you to get that mentality. I don't want you to have that concept because there is no suffering in regard to the kingdom of God that he won't give. He'll give you the grace. You know, Paul said, Lord, let this thing be removed from me. I can't handle this. Judaizers all the time arguing and all the time fussing about the message of grace. I can't handle it. And God said, my grace is sufficient for you. God's grace is sufficient. Yeah, Betsy.
I was just thinking of that verse, and I don't remember where it says, and Jesus, the Holy the joy set before him, he carried
the
cross.
Yeah.
And thinking about how he looked at it with joy. He endured suffering beyond anything that we could ever imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we're not willing to step out of our way to lay down some little thing of our flesh.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And to have him meet us there with the power and the grace of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
To enable us to do it.
Right. And that's I'm actually got that scripture open. I want to read it. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of God, a right hand of the throne of God. It says, for consider him. Consider that. You know, when we look at our purpose, it doesn't, you know, I don't want you to take this wrong, but I just don't want you to get this idea that serving God is wrong, is hard, it's fun, it's enjoyable, it's life. But there is a part of that life where you say, you know, Lord, I yield my life to you. I yield my life to what your purpose is for my life. And see, don't think, and a lot of people think, well, if I'm not a preacher, no. You may be a full-time mom, and that's your purpose.
Well,
You see what I'm saying? I mean, you can't find any greater purpose than being a full-time mom. You see what I'm saying? You can't find any harder work than being a full-time mom. I was Mr. Mom for, what, 3 months one time, honey? 2 months? 1 month? 3 months? 3 months or something? I was Mr. Mom when the twins were being born and Rachel was like 2 years old. And my boss actually gave me a little leave of absence of sick time and I could take it off. And golly, the thing that I found out about being a mom, it is never done. It's like you do it and then you do it again and then you do it again. It's like I do something. You know, if you do something in the yard, you do a landscape project, it's done. You know, if you mow the yard, it's done for quite a while. But with being a mom, it's like it's there. And it's like you clean up the breakfast dishes, then you got the lunch to make. You clean up the lunch dishes, then you got to think about what's going to be supper. And you know, I'm kidding Beth all the time. It's like we get through with lunch and she starts thinking about, well, what do you want for supper? It's like I can't even think about food right now. But, you know, see, you have to recognize what your vocation and calling is. And don't compare it or minimize it. And when someone else looks at you, they may think, oh, my gosh, I don't know how they suffer through that. And to you, it's like, you know, there may be some suffering or whatever, but it's not like you don't have the strength, the grace, the joy to bear it. Yes, Ellie?
I think one of the reasons we don't experience the joy and the power more often is because of what you said, we don't go to the cross.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, it's like me. I can't tell you how much of a desire I have for stuff to happen here. Big stuff. I mean, here around the world to take you all and just do all sorts of things. But it's like, okay, I just have to slow my heart down and say, Lord, I just surrender it. I surrender. I yield my will to you. You know, I want, if it's what your timing is, you know, what you want to happen, how you want it to happen. Mm-hmm. And just rest. You know, rest in that. I can remember when it's, you know, I was wanting to go into the ministry. It was like, you know, you just kind of wait and you wait and you wait. And then it's time for that, you know. Mm-hmm. It'll be time. Amen. Yeah, Matt.
I think the joy comes when you, like the grace is when God lets you see. The reason it's not a struggle is because he lets you see the purpose and how great it is.
Yeah.
He lets you see the whole thing.
Yeah.
And
yep, that's so good.
The joy part is because you know the end.
That you know the end. You know the purpose.
You know your purpose.
Yes.
In that. I think, and so it's not like. Ugh.
Right. That's good.
And I think that's
good. That's good. Yeah, that's good. That's good. Dan, yeah.
You know, just to go along with what Matt's saying, I think that one of the foundational things that what we're talking about is really being able to grasp the love of God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I can trust him with my life.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, I can surrender my life to him and really trust him.
Yeah.
You know, trust that he's got it.
Yeah.
I don't have to try to figure it out. And when I try to figure it out and do my own thing,
oh gosh.
Then I'm going to make a mistake.
Yeah.
So it's being in tune, like the word says, you know, walk in the Spirit. And it's just being in tune with the Spirit of God.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the joy, and it may take us through, you know, it may take us through tough times, but that's where the joy comes
from.
You know, when Paul was in prison, you know, he had joy. He's singing praises to God.
Yeah.
You know, but he was in prison. It was rough.
Mm-hmm.
Yet he was where God wanted him to be.
Yeah,
you know,
I know.
At that time.
Yep.
And, of course, God set him free. But, you know, it's in James talks about, you know, faith. We can say we have faith, but faith will cause there to be deeds.
Yeah.
Works for righteousness.
No, not to earn something, right. No.
But when we have faith and we're trusting him and accept his love and trust him, it's going to create good works.
Yeah.
You know, good works will flow.
Yeah.
So the good works are out of obedience because we love him. It's a relationship.
Yep.
Not because of having to do something.
Not being burned out. Right.
To gain his favor.
Right. Not struggling with religion. It's out of being a coupling, a balance of relationship with him. And I was studying that in Noah there. A while ago we looked at Noah. And whenever all of that happened, I can't remember which word it is in particular, but when he decided to yield himself to the will of God, It meant he entered into intimacy, our knowing God.
And you know the thing about Noah, you read the word there, and he was 500 years old.
Yeah.
When his sons were born.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He was 600 years old when they went into the ark.
Yeah.
It was 100 years from the time God spoke to
yep.
him about what's going to happen. Uh-huh. And this, I mean, you talk about being under pressure. You know, the whole world is living in sin.
And violence. And
I mean, you talk about pressure.
Yeah.
Pressure.
Yeah.
And temptation all around him.
Mm-hmm.
But he was faithful and trusted God. Mm-hmm. And loved God. You know, it was a relationship.
Yeah.
The intimacy. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But for 100 years, and like you said, it never rained. It was, just, you know.
The earth was. God, right. You know? He's trusting God for something that happened and never happened.
And you talk about a good father. I mean, Father's Day's coming
yeah.
up.
Yeah.
But you talk about a good father. His children chose to go into the ark with him.
Yeah. Because when it had never rained.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, you know, they never had a precedent for something of that magnitude happening. And you know, guys, listen, I'm convinced the only way he could find that path is through rest. He couldn't find that path any other way. You know, when you think about it, look, see, when you think about that, who was it that God made covenant with after the flood? Noah. See, he made a covenant with him. And God entered into covenant with Adam. Adam messed it up. God then said, okay, I'm going to try to love and help mankind. I'm going to enter into a covenant with Noah. Think about if Noah had not entered into the rest of God and his purpose. Folks, I'm telling you, our lives affect people's destinies. Yeah, Pete.
It all comes down to surrendering.
Yeah.
We trust him.
Yeah.
If we trust him, we're going to let him do his way.
Yeah.
His time,
yep.
And just go and go wholeheartedly with the program, the part that God's given us.
And that is, folks, I believe that's where all of us are. Mm-hmm. I really believe, no matter where you are in life, it's about surrendering your heart, yielding your heart to God. You know, and that's why, listen, I know, and I'll try to interject this, if you'll notice, as many service times as I can, that's why your meditation upon your heart is one of the most important things you can do. Uh-huh. Find out. Let me tell you something now. You will never be able to locate your heart if you're not brutally honest with yourself. Yep. You'll never be able to do it. And listen to me now. Everybody say, listen. I'm coming back to this. This is God. This is the Holy Ghost. Listen. If all you look at is positional truth, you will never be honest with your heart. Never. You can never do it. You can never accept reality if that's all you look at. You are the righteousness of God, but don't lie to yourself if you're sinning. Well, I'm the right. No, don't do that. If you lie against the truth, you can never overcome. You can never have victory. You can never get yourself out of that where your expectations are not meeting your reality, and you will never find your heart. You'll never be able to find where your heart really is. Amen. That to me, that is one of. That's why the word says, "Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life." You know, to guard our heart and to be brutally honest with ourselves. All the time knowing we are the righteousness of God. We are accepted in the Beloved. He's not condemning us. He's not mad at us. He loves us. But listen, we can do that and still be brutally honest with ourselves.
Amen.
And where other people are in life without being judgmental.
Right.
That is our designed purpose. Our designed purpose, folks, is to surrender our hearts. Surrender our lives to God.
Amen.
I haven't surrendered my life nearly as much as I plan on it. You know what I'm saying?
Join the club.
I haven't. I don't know if y'all are like me. If you walk with the Lord any amount of time, you look at your life and you think, oh, Lord, I could surrender my life a lot more. Well, that's not the time to be condemned.
No.
That's the time to say, no, I'm the righteousness of God. Lord, we're going to walk this journey out. We're going to walk this out. This journey is going to be walked out between us. But Lord, I am walking this journey out not by unattaching or abandoning myself from you. I'm going to walk this out by saying, God, I am attached to you. And this is a journey we're walking on of unquantitated grace, of unquantitated love. And if I know that, I can walk this journey out. Everybody say, grow up into him. I'll tell you, y'all done helped me preach myself happy. Another way you can tell whether you're stressed or if you're walking into your purpose is, or how do you find your purpose is, what do you talk about all the time? What's on your mouth, on your mind all the time, you know? You can find, where's your purpose? And let me ask you this question. You can find out where your purpose is. You want me to tell you, find out where your purpose is? If you do what you're doing for free. If you do what you do for free. I had a lady I was talking to recently, and she said these people at this church she was working at jumped on her because she wasn't doing quite what she should do, you know. And they were saying, well, you know, you're just doing it for the money. You're just doing it for the money. And she's telling me this. She said, I just stopped this person right in the middle of the conversation. I said, wait. No, I'm not doing this for the money. I was doing this for free a long time ago. I did it for the money. See, how do you know what your purpose is? If you will do what you're doing for free, that's where your purpose is. Because you love what you're doing, you're happy with what you're doing, you're content with what you're doing,
That's right. And
you'll do it for free. You'll just do it. Amen. Yeah. Boy, this has been good tonight, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Amen. Let's stand up here and thank the Lord for his goodness. We've gone a lot longer than I thought we would go.